This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Universal groups get together, Parshas B'Shalach, to read Parshas Hamon, and they go right away to the banks to look at the bank account to see, direct result, Parshas Hamon. It's true that it is a school of Parnassah, and it's true, and it's right to have such a feeling to Parshas Hamon that if you read it and you believe in it, of course, it is a school of Parnassah. I'm not trying to undermine that. But the truth is, it's a lot deeper than just a school of Parnassah. And for a person, Yari Shemayim, someone who's looking to be a true Jew, should actually see deeper in Parshas Hamon than just a school of a Parnassah. I would say he should see it in a school of Yari Shemayim. Memela, you'll have Parnassah. Memela, as a result of that, you will have bracha and atzlacha. But the idea of Parshas Hamon isn't, as they say, A plus B equals C. Parshas Hamon, if I read it, I get Parnassa. Parshas Hamon, if I have it in my tefillin big, I'm going to get a bigger paycheck. The A plus B equals C should be Parshas Hamon. If I learn it and internalize it, I will have Yiras Shamayim. So the A plus B equals C, the entire equation means overall I will have bracha and hatzlacha. But it's not the reading of the Parshas Hamon directly, that the words have some magical power to it. There's some tremendous koyach, strength behind these words. I can tell you that if you don't take out the lesson of Parshas Hamon, and you don't take out the yesod, the foundation of the idea of Parshas Hamon, you could read Parshas Hamon from today till tomorrow. Your bank account might get less, not even more. I hope it gets more. I'm not coming to, and maybe in the simple schus, maybe the Eibishter will send you a few dollars, you know, as a bonus prize. But the true Parshas Hamon is about internalizing Parshas Hamon, understanding Parshas Hamon, and then taking out not money from the bank, but Yiras Shamayim from the Torah, from the Parshas Hamon, Emunah and Bitachon from the Parshas Hamon, which overall is good for your entire financial and spiritual and emotional and overall well-being. So it's not only for the money, but it's for the entire person, for your entire well-being, as we're going to explain right now. What is money? What is the idea behind the money? Why did the Eibishter feed us money? What are we supposed to learn from the money? So Rabbi Sai, let me begin to discuss something interesting. The man, the Gemara tells us a yuma daf ayin hay, amid aleph to ayin hay amid beis, came with a slew of nisim, of miracles. There were many, many, many moivsim, many miracles. Open nisim v'niflois with the man. The psukim seem to say some of them. The Gemara adds in a few more. In the psukim, we see clearly that they got the mon once a day straight from Shemayim. There was no work involved. Today, if you tell somebody that he'll make money with no work whatsoever, he would laugh at you and say, what are you talking about? It's chalaimus with chalaimus with chalaimus. Dreams upon dreams upon dreams. At the end of the day, that's what happened in the Midbar. They put no effort, no work, and straight from Shemayim, it came down. Okay. We also know that it was a tremendous bracha. It was a tremendous blessing in the man itself. They ate it. Yeah, and what happened? It was mizbarach b'mayehem. It became benched. It became blessed in their intestines, in their inners. The Pasuk calls it lechem abirim. Chazal explained why is it called lechem abirim? Because it was lechem shemalachi asharis oichlim. This was heavenly bread, and it didn't mistame to make you gain any weight. You didn't gain any weight, mistame.
Pure.
It was pure. It went straight into the intestines where it's supposed to be mazen. It's supposed to give you the sustenance. Spiritual, halakha, unbelievable bread. Yeah, something. The Pasuk says, no one knew what it was. Manhu, they didn't even know what it was. They couldn't even figure it out. Could you imagine all the rocket scientists of the time were trying to take it apart? Can't figure it out. They couldn't even come up with a theory. Today, even if they don't know the answer to the solution, at least they have a theory. They come up and they write in the Journal of Medicines there and the Journals of Science, a theory. Here the Pasuk says, they have to admit. Because there was no explanation whatsoever. There was no way for them to even think that they know what it's all about, this man. Manhu. They had to give it a name. We don't know what it is. Beyond comprehension. What is the ingredient? We don't know. Ingredient? I don't know. How does it... I don't know. Lo yadu. There's no way. The Pasuk says clearly. They couldn't figure it out. And normally when you can't figure it out... So there are a bunch of people that will come up and say, I have an idea, I have a hunch. Because you can't look, as they say in English, stupid, clueless, right? Here the Torah is telling us clearly that they have to admit, and everybody, even the greatest chacham and wise people, there's no explanation to what this is all about. Miracles and miracles, yeah. As a matter of fact, even the way it came, it was all miracles. The Rishayim, they had to walk further to get it. The Tzaddikim, it came straight to their door, maybe even to their into their living room, into the pot where they were. They put out a bowl, and all of a sudden, man came into the bowl. Like you're hungry. Came right into the to them. It came to them. Zaydi Zatzal used to say pshat. It says in the Pasuk, Vayancha Vayarivecha, I afflicted you, and I made you hungry, and I fed you the man. This is a Pasuk in Dvarim, Perik Ches, Pasuk Gimel. What do you mean hungry? I thought the man was delicious. What do you mean? Why were you hungry? Why would you be hungry? Vayancha, he made you hungry. Vayarivecha, He afflicted you and made you hungry, and he fed you the man. So either it means that till he fed you the man, which means he made you hungry, you were hungry. So Abraham said, don't be hungry, I'll give you the man. But it's interesting, the word vayancha means that it was affliction. So some talk about the fact that the man did not have a taste. It had taste, but not physical taste. And therefore, you had to come and think. You had to come and be mechaved, which means that the man, it looked plain. You know, a blind person doesn't enjoy his food. Why not? Because part of the enjoyment is what it looks like. Psychological. So the psychological chelik in the man they didn't have, we're going to talk about this a little bit later in the shir, which is maybe what its good part was. You see, what we think that the chisaron in the man was, what we think the problem, what we think was the issue with the man, was actually its mailitz attribute. The fact that it was only if you had in your head a thought of what you wanted it to be, and instead of it coming to you and saying, you know, it's delicious, look what it looks like, it wasn't appetizing to the eye externally. We're going to discuss this might be the maila, the attribute of the man. But al kapanim, that some say is the vayancha. At the end of the day, you like something that looks good. You know, when you go to a restaurant, you pay extra money. My Zaydi used to tell me that Rav Avtali Trapp used to give a shmuz, a sicha in the yeshiva, that why do you pay extra money for a restaurant? In the house, I'm sure your wife can make the same food. Now, I don't know, I'm not going to get into this argument, restaurant food, home food, echleisa. I'm going to be humble and say, I enjoy my wife's cooking just as much as any other restaurant. To me, it's all just as good, okay? And if you want, you can tell my wife, and she'll be very happy I gave her this compliment. It's on tape. Okay. The point being, that voice, I... So why would someone go, oh, we're going out tonight to restaurant and pay extra money? What are you paying extra money for? So Rav Tali Trapp, Zecheinu Levracha, the Radin Rosh Hashiva. He was the Rosh Hashiva in the time of the Chavetz Chaim, in the Yeshiva of the Chavetz Chaim. He said, you're not paying for the food. Because the food is the same cooking as your bubby used to cook, the delicious chicken soup and knedel or whatever they used to feed over there in Radin, okay? What you're paying for is for the folded napkin and for the fork on the right side and the spoon on the left side. That's what you're paying for. Okay? You're paying for the external polish. Yeah. Potatoes. You don't make potatoes regular. You have to make it with like a whip. It has to come up like a whip. It's the same potato. Yeah. Mashed potatoes are mashed potatoes. Yeah, but this is... fancy, the fancy style. A pastry. What's pastry? It's cake with a little pastry. Look at that. Pst. Wow. Okay. You understand the point. The man didn't have this beautiful pst. You looked at it. Man who, it didn't have much of a structure. Had it had some kind of structure, they would have come up with a nice name for it. Mondi la mono. They would have came up with some kind of fancy, beautiful, you know,
French
name for the cuisine, you know. Manu, it was plain, delicious. Don't get me wrong, but plain as plain could be, externally plain. And like I said, for some that was tremendous hunger. It was pain because they needed that fancy dessert. They needed that fancy with all the toppings on the side. For the others, they didn't need it. Could be. That could be one pshat. In Vayancha, Vayarivecha. And later we'll discuss, that was Gufa. That itself was the Maila. That itself was the attribute of the man. But my Zaydi's Atzal said a different pshat. You know, like I just told you, the Gemara says that Tzadikim used to get the man by the door. The Rishayim used to get it far away. They had, you know, they had to walk for it. Now, let's say a case where a person was a tzaddik. But then for a few days he was slipping a little bit. You know, he wasn't keeping, you know, with such tzihirut. He wasn't shmirat alashon so well, you know. So all of a sudden, starts getting far away his man, you hear? So what's he going to do? Start walking out to get his man. Look, all the neighbors are going to see. All the neighbors are going to know. Hey, look at that tzaddik. All of a sudden, he has to go get his man from far away. So what did he do? He skipped the meals. He skipped. He didn't go get it. Vayancha, vayarivecha. He made you hungry. Some people went hungry because they were afraid to take the man. It looked very bad for them if they had the one day thought going out to get the man. So many, many skipped, as they say in English, skipped a few meals. They went hungry for a few days sometimes. That's how my Zaydi Zatzal used to say a charifus, a pshat, a vertel.
I like that.
A vertel, and what it means, vayancha, vayarivecha, vayachilcha, saman. But point being, that the Rabbeinu Shloilam gave us man, externally you saw nothing, but its taste and its nutrient content was unbelievable. It's unbelievable, yeah. And the way it came down, miraculous. Not only that, we know that it came down in a special sandwich, so to speak. It was tau and dew on top, and then there was a layer on the bottom, and that's why we have Lechem Mishnah, and the Mishnah Berurah brings down the Pashtida, right? There's a special kugel that you're supposed to bottom, and came down in this very special way. It also came down on Friday, double portion, so you shouldn't have to go pick it on Shabbos. The Gemara tells us over there in Yuma, Ayin Heyam and Beis, that actually the whole world saw the man. Why? Hayim is Gabr v'Oyla. It was like this big tree that rose to the sky, the man. Mor says that the man was something which we can't even describe. Nisim, miracles upon miracles upon miracles upon miracles. Okay. So if let's say someone would read this in a book, he would say, wow, unbelievable. Hashem, the Rabbeinu Shleilam, wow, it's so evident that there's a God in the world, right? Take a look. The Rabbeinu Shleilam went and gave us mud. I told you the pasuk, we just quoted it above, and we said the pasuk tells us, Vayancha, Vayarivecha, Vayachilcha, Samon. I made you hungry. I afflicted you. And then I gave you the man. Why? So the pasuk says, Laman hoidiacha. In order you should know, Ki loy al alechem levado yichya odom, that a person doesn't live only on bread. That a person lives according to the mouth and word of Hashem. Hashem says to live, he lives. The Mefarshim explained that it is Hashem who put with his dibur, with his word, the koyach, the strength within food to sustain. Good. I have a question. If Hashem wouldn't have made us hungry, if Hashem wouldn't have afflicted us, we would still know, Laman Haitiyacha, that through the miracles of the man, we would have noticed Hashem is great. And that Hashem is the one that sustains. Why did we need to first be hungry? Why did Hashem need to afflict? Starve us, so to speak, as the Pasuk uses the words, Vayancha Vayarivecha. And then he gave us the man in order we should know. Give us the man and we would know that it's from you, Hashem. Why the prerequisite? Why is it important that first we were hungry? Then Hashem gave us the man, and then we'll know that Hashem is the one that sustains the person. You know what I think, Rabbi Yisai, the Pashat Pshat is, and I think it's a tremendous lesson in life. Miracles are everywhere. Every day there's miracles. Everywhere there's miracles. You know when we communicate with those miracles. You know when it becomes a part of us. You know when we become we learn from those miracles. When we were first hungry, and we realized that Hashem did us chesed, that Hashem did a tremendous chesed with us, and He gave us to eat. A person could see lots of miracles. He doesn't connect with those miracles. You know when you connect, when it's personal. You were hungry, and you were so in pain, and then Hashem came there to save you through the mud. Oh, then I know Hashem is great. That's what the pasuk is saying. Vayancha, vayariveko. The chesed of Hashem's miracles is what influences the person, what the person connects to. Just that Hashem is great and He does tremendous, it's true. Maybe tzaddikim, maybe learned people, they could sit there and contemplate Hashem's greatness. That's why there's a whole thing to know Hashem through mechkar, leida, to know Hashem's greatness. But that's not enough. Have we spoken about this in the past? the way to connect with Hashem and His hand of greatness of miracles is by recognition of the chesed in those miracles. Once you recognize the chesed in the miracles, then you'll internalize Hashem's greatness through those miracles. What is Hashem's greatness? The chesed that He feeds us? Is that what it is? That we live because of Him and His food that He gives us to sustain us? Or is the chesed of Hashem, as we will continue to explain, not so much the actual, the food, but it's the security that the Rabbeinu Shleilam gives us, that He's there to feed us. You know, Rabbi, see, we say in the first bracha of Birchas Hamazon, right? Hazan es ha'olam kulay betuvay. Hizan, betuvay. B'chein, b'chesed, u'beracham. So we stress this point, that it's not just Hashem is great, that He's zan, but He's zan, right? B'chein, b'chesed, u'beracham. Because like we're explaining, it's not just to bring out how great Hashem is, but how much ches. Chem cheser, hu noisin lechem l'chol basar, ki li'olam chazdei. Again, ki li'olam chazdei. Right? Avu shmei agadol, ki hu zon, ki hu kel zon, u mefarnes l'koil, u mechin mozoin l'chol b'riyosav. What does it mean, mechin mozoin? Like you just said nicer. You just said He gives.
First prepared, then He gives.
Oh, first he prepares and then He gives. Not first He gives and then He prepares. Hu nice lechem l'chol basa. Right. Then we say umeichin mazay l'chol briyosav asher bar. Baruch atah Hashem azlan es hakol. So the meichin is should have been in the beginning. First of all, hazan es ha'olam kulei. Why? Hu meichin. And then He's who noisin. Why do we talk about the Meichin after the noisin? It's an unbelievable question. You ever think about it? You know, it's funny. A person can bench sometimes three times a day, depending on the type of bagels they have in the store. Sometimes I can see guys there three times a day, you know. Right? On a good day. Do you ever think of what you say? Take a sitter. You got a sitter. And let's learn sitter. Don't be embarrassed. There's nothing wrong if you learn a little sitter. They're going to come and say, "Why did you learn by Rav Wolkin's yeshiva today? We learned sitter." All right. Let's see. What does it say? Yeah. Ki v'tuvah gal tamal echasalam. Ki hu. Oh, you have a different lashon, maybe. Oh, that could be. Kihu elzon,
will
shochano aruch lakol. The hiskin mich, it's the same thing. Hiskin is to prepare. Mechin mazon, mechin and hiskin is the same. Ashkenaz has mechin, and Tzvarim say hiskin. So you just said you're giving us. So what's hiskin?
Yitkin mazon.
What's the answer? Abaisai, let me tell you the answer. There's two parts to feeding somebody. There's one part, the actual eating. Then there's another part, it's called the security, that the food will be there for you to eat. I'll give you a good example that anybody sitting in this room could relate to. You know, when the parents go away for a weekend, so you have the house for yourself. So there's two types of parents. There's one parent that leaves you a credit card with a few dollars and says, if you'll need this, and then you'll go out to the store and you'll buy it. Then there's another parent that says, you know, I'll leave you a full fridge of food. Which do you feel better with? You feel more comfortable with the full fridge of food, right? Mm-hmm. Why? Because it's prepared, ready for you to eat. There's a certain security in a full fridge of food. You know, I'll tell you, I noticed this week with the snowstorms, the stores are full. They're jam-packed. They announce a snowstorm. Tell me, how long can a snowstorm last for already? 24 hours? What's the big deal? You go every day to buy milk in the store. You buy milk and eggs every day in the store. I watch the tarots psychologically.
Yeah.
I'm ready. I'm prepared. Security. Part of mazai is the security that goes behind the mazai. Yeah? Good? Clear?
Yeah.
Okay. Not only does Hashem give, which is maybe the greater part of the chesed, Hashem feeds me, he also says, what does mechim mazai mean? He gives you also the preparation of the food, the security.
Shouldn't it still be first?
No, because not at first. The first thing is nice in lechem chabas. Fed me. I'd buy if I didn't have that. Also, there's a kindness that how he gives it to you. He doesn't put you down a check on the table and says, go buy it. Mechim. He gives you that it's prepared and ready to go. You just got to come pick it up. You just got to come and get it, but it's there. It's all ready. Security. Okay. I believe that the greatness of Parshas Haman wasn't the actual feeding, but it was the security that it came. And I'll explain to you what I mean. If a person has to go every day to buy his food, is that a good thing or a bad thing? Every day. And it's there. You walk into the store and it's there. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? So I want everybody to please turn to Parshas Kisavai, Perik Lamed, okay, towards the end. The last Pasuk, I think it's Samach Hey or Samach Vav. In Dvarim. Dvarim, Parshas Kisavai. Your life will be hanging, so to speak, in front of you. And what would you say? What was that klala? It says clearly the klala. In the morning you'll say, who gives me night? In the night you'll say, who gives me morning? Sound familiar? It's a klala, right? Rashi explains from the name of Chazal, what is that talking about? That's talking about a person who has to go every day to the store. And in the morning he has to say, you know what? The night I'll go to the store to buy the food. At night I have to go tomorrow morning to buy from the store, which means he doesn't have a refrigerator full of food. Security, he doesn't have it. He has to say, I'll worry about the next meal. Doesn't mean he's not going to have it. But the fact that he has to think, I have to go and get it, this is already a chelik of the klala. The klala is, okay, everybody look. At the end of Parshas Kisavai, Pasuk Samach Hey and Pasuk Samach Vav. Right before Ki. Okay, read Pasuk Samach Hey, please. Go ahead, read, no? Read.
Ubagoyim Lahem, lo targia, lo yeh manoach, lekafra
glecha. Right, you're not going to have any rest, yeah?
Benatan Hashem Lecha Sham Lev Raga.
Go ahead.
V'chim V'nayim V'davon Nafesh.
That's Samach Hey?
Yeah.
What's Samach Vav?
V'chayu Chayecha Tlui.
Tlui. V'chayecha, excuse me, I was off by one pasuk. You gotta forgive me by one pasuk. It's all by heart. Okay, V'chayecha Necha Tluyim. Your life will be hanging, so to speak, in front of you. Continue.
V'chata Leila.
And you'll be afraid of the night. Yeah? And you won't have security, tamin, emuna in your life. You won't be feel secure. Yeah?
Babok.
In the morning you'll say, Mi'itein Erev, who give me in the evening? Uba Erev, in the evening you'll say, who gives me morning? Says Rashi, this is Lalekech Pas Paltrim and Anachtoim. That he has to go to the store and buy bread. And in the morning, he has to go tonight at night, which means he doesn't have enough to save up. He has to keep on worrying for the next meal. That's what it says, right? Doesn't say he doesn't have, he just has to worry. And he'll get it. He'll go to the store, he'll get it. Question, wasn't that what happened by the mud? And I'll explain to you what I mean. The Gemara in Yuma, Daf Samach Vav, has a question. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu not do even a bigger miracle? He could have made the man fall once a year, let them eat once a year, and let it last the entire year. I mean, you want miracles, so make it like that already. That's a Gemara. The Gemara asks for a, you know, I read you the Gemara. Says the Gemara question. Do I have it here? No. You know, if you bring me a Gemara, well, you have, you bring me a Gemara Yuma, and we can see it inside.
Say by this, bitachon.
Bring me a Gemara Yuma. Bring me a Gemara Yuma. Oh, here it is. I have it. Okay, I wrote it over here. Shalu es Reb Shimon ben Yechai. Yuma involvem et aleph. Mipnei ma lo yorad lehem mon pamachas b'shono. Why did the man fall once a year? That's it. It could have been make a bigger miracle. Ma lohem, he says to them, I'll tell you why it had to fall every day. Em shalachem mashal. Through a mashal, through a parable. Lema adava daime. What is this compared to? Lamelech basar v'dam. A king, flesh and blood. Sheyeshli ben echad, that he has one son. He tells him, I'll give you food once a year. So he came to his father only once a year. So the father felt very big. So what does he do? He says, you know what? I'll start giving you every day. Like this, I could see you every single day. The Omer and Gradak Vurch, I have a question on this Gemara. I thought they had Shisha Bekeres Echad. Why is it only four or five children? The Gemara says a person had four or five. Why four or five? 45! Why four or five? Okay. Hayadayig Omer Shemelo Yerid Man Lamachar. He was afraid for the month tomorrow. Venim Tzakulam Eisim Barav. They'll all die. Nim Tzakulam Echam Neslim Lavim Sheba Shemayim. So like this, every day they pray with a full heart to the Rebbeinu Shloilam, that they should have what? Mun. But I thought that was the klala. Isn't that the case where klala, where you don't have security? It's a tremendous question. The way the Gemara describes mun, that the reason why you have to fall daily so you shouldn't have security, so you should come on to Hashem constantly, is itself not a bracha but a klala, the way the pasuk tells us. I thought the bracha is to have security. And here we're saying the bracha is not to have security. So how do you explain it? And the answer, our boy says, is very simple. Without bitachon, the lack of security is extremely painful. With bitachon, the lack of security is extremely, extremely helpful. I'll say it again. A person who has to worry about the next meal and he doesn't have bitachon. Ki ein Hashem Eloika b'kirbi. The teichacha is when you don't feel Hashem's hand and love and warmth and connection. Oh, that's terrible. That I have to worry about the next meal is it's excruciating curse. But where I have Hashem's hand, where I feel Hashem is with me, and I worry about the next meal, but I have who to turn to. Then the fact that I have to turn to Him, the fact that I don't have, and the fact that I'm missing, that is not only not a klala, but it is the biggest bracha. It's the biggest blessing, the biggest ashirus wealth that a person could have. You hear the difference? The man was kilay al alechem levada. It came with a special blessing, and that is that the man knew Hashem is giving it. Oh, that I'm so happy that I don't have it. the opposite. I look forward to get from Hashem. My next meal, I turn to Hashem, I know I'm going to get it. Then it turns into a bracha. But where I don't feel Hashem, and I have to worry about the next meal, then it's a klala. It's a tremendous... That's the difference. So it's not so much what Hashem gave, but it's the bracha, the security of bitachon that it came with, which is what man was so special for. The man itself wasn't that special because it was without security in the fridge. You weren't able to keep it for the next day. How many times do you see a woman say, "Oh, I stocked up my freezer." You know, she goes, "The freezer's full. I stocked up." You know, and they feel very good about it. That you didn't have in the mud. So that could have been a klala. That could have been a very big, "Oh, what am I going to do?" You ever see women, the way they start hyperventilating when they don't know if they have enough for the next suda, for the next meal, they start hyperventilating.
Next week.
That Hashem is going to give you, so they're not having. He's going to put bugs in his head. So the point that we're trying to bring out is Parshas Haman. You're right. It's a skula for Parnassah. It's true. But Parshas Haman maybe even is a bigger skula for Bitachon, which is possibly even a greater wealth than actual Parnosa. They say over that the Brisker Rav, when he read Chaimus Halvavus, how the Chaimus Halvavus describes Bitachon, he said that the greatest wealth that a person could have is the Bitachon itself. It's not the money, it's the Bitachon and Hashem. And I saw this week. This past week, I had to pick up for a family member of mine an x-ray. In this radiology where they take the x-rays, the radiological the doctor's office, unfortunately they take, radiology, they take tests for all the different types of cancers and Rahman al-Islam, all the horrible diseases of the world. There was a room full of people. not one person took his eyes away from the tilm. It was a room full of frum yidden, men, ladies, young, old. The tilm. I tried to make a little conversation with one of them. I couldn't break him away from the tilm. He was attached. I was trying to, you know, ask him how, you know, how's he feeling, what's wrong, you know, to make it easier for him. Because I saw that he was going for a test and it was going to be difficult. And I realized that he doesn't need anything. The only thing he needs at this moment is his tehillim. Sometimes the greatest matana is the security of having the Rabbeinu Shalom there with you. I realize that's the point. And I'll explain to you now how this is relevant in our times when we understand well what mon is. Okay? You know, it's an interesting thing, Shira. We had the Shira before the parsha of mon. What was the Shira? The Shira was that Klal Yisrael saw the tremendous miracle of Hashem, the Kriyas Yamsuf, and they said Shira. The Gemara tells us that the Malachim also wanted to say Shira. When they saw Kriyas Yamsuf, the Rabbeinu Shloilam gets upset, so to speak, and says, what? You're going to say Shira? Maisi Yadu Toivim Bayom? The Atim Oimrim Shira? How could you say Shira? These are my creations, the Mitzriim. They were not allowed to say Shira. Yet, Klal Yisrael did say Shira. So it's a famous question. I mean, if the Malachim are not allowed, why are the Klal Yisrael allowed? Another question that's famous, that's asked. Pesach, the first 2 days, we say Hallel, complete. The last days of Pesach, we don't say Hallel. Half. We say half the Hallel. Sukkot, we say full Hallel. Why do we say full Hallel? It's a Yom Tov. It's a holiday. The Gemara really discusses the chilukim between Sukkot. It's a Gemara and Erechin. So the Shibayi Le'alekit says, you know why Sukkot? We say the entire Sukkot Hallel. It's a holiday. Why Pesach not? Because Ma'is Yod Toivim Bayam V'Atamayim Mshira. How could you come and say full Hallel? Look, the Mitzrayim, Pesach was about the Mitzrayim, how we conquered, and then the Mitzrayim got destroyed. Ma'is Yod Toivim Bayam, you shouldn't say Shira. That's why we don't say full Hallel on Pesach. So everybody asked the question, good, so why do we say Hallel the first 2 days? Why does it end by the first 2 days of Pesach, we say Hallel. Then, you can't say Hallel. The Mitzrayim died. Yeah, but what about the first 2 days? They also died. Why don't we say Hallel? So the truth is, there's many ways that we could tackle this question. To come and say like this, that the first 2 days is Yetzias Mitzrayim. The last days of Pesach is Kriyas Yamsuf. So by Kriyas Yamsuf, maybe it's more of an issue of Ma'is Yad HaTovim Bayom V'Atamayim Mshira. But the first 2 days, notice that we don't even mention Kriyas Yamsuf in Haggadah. In Haggadah, we don't mention Kriyas Yamsuf at all. In Dayenu, we mention. In Dayenu, we mention. Which is interesting, you know. If you notice, we say in Dayenu, Ilu Sipik Tzarkenu Bamidbar V'Leinas Alanu Es Haman, Dayenu. So, L'chayri, the question could be asked, Sipik Tzarkenu Bamidbar is the man. I don't say it's the same thing, no? If Hashem would have given us what we needed in the Midbar, oh, great, even if he didn't give us the man, well, we would have died from hunger. I mean, what do you mean? Huh? What's the answer to the question? If only Hashem would have sipeit zarkenu b'midbar, oh, that would have been enough. Even if he didn't want to give us the man.
Security, he didn't give you the security.
So the answer is the way we spoke, it's very good. Sipeit zarkenu was the security. But after the security, he gave us man, which had miracles in it also. So it was twofold. The way I explained to you, the man came with a double package. It was the security of how it was given, and also the man had it in its miracles. So Ilu Sipek Tzarkenu, he would have taken care of our needs, security. That would have been enough. But all she gave us the month, the miracles, this is very much the way we spoke. Okay. But notice that we mentioned only in passing, Dayenu, we mentioned Kriyas Yamsam, the Rambam's Haggadah. Rav Avram, the son of the Rambam, says the Rambam didn't have this in his Haggadah, even though the Rambam, in his Rambam that we have, the Rambam brings us in the Haggadah, the Kriyas Yamsuf and the Dayenu, but Rav Avram and the Rambam says that the actual, his father didn't put in Kriyas Yamsuf in the Dayenu. And the reason is, the first 2 days have nothing to do Kriyas Yamsuf. Kriyas Yamsuf is the yantif of what? Of the later days. So maybe that's why the first 2 days we do say full hallel, while the last day is not. But the problem with that is, why Chol HaMoed then? You know what we should have done? We should have had, during Chol HaMoed, also full hallel. And only the last day is not to say. So it doesn't really answer the question. Okay. So the Teretz that we could say, and others maybe have said it before us, the first 2 days of Pesach, we say, it's as if we left Mitzrayim. When the miracle happens to you, you could say hallel. That's why the Jewish people on Yamsuf had no problem of saying hallel. I asked you, well, why the Malachim not allowed, the Jews are allowed? Because it happened to them.
Oh.
So since it happened to them, they're allowed to say. And since the first 2 days of Pesach, it's Liray Sasatz Mekilu that he happened to me, I happened personally to me, therefore I could say what? I could say hallel. Okay. Now, I have a question. I've asked many this question. Why every day do we choose to say Oz Yashir? Oz Yashir is supposed to be Shira. In Psukim Dizimra, we choose Oz Yashir to be a Shira, a praise to Hashem. Why on a regular day are we praising Hashem for what he did to the Mitzrayim? Why don't we have the problem of Maisi Yaday Toiv Bayam, the Atem Oymer Shira? Why today, in the morning, are you sitting and saying Oz Yashir, a praise to Hashem, a Shira? Why are we praising Hashem? And I point this out. You know what Oz Yashir really is? How Hashem smashed the Mitzrayim. They were floating up and down and banging in the crack. Take it easy. All the gory details. Hashem says, "Maisi other time by Yom Vatamay." You're right. It's in the Torah now. I agree with you. But if you want to say Shira, why don't you take out Perik Shira? Why don't you take out what all the animals, they say praise to Hashem, all the tremendous Shira, this is Bacha, they say Takash Bacha. Let that be the Psuki. It's a merging a question. I thought you just said Hashem doesn't like to hear how his creations drown. So every day, Oz Yashim Hashem, Nei Yisrael. So it's funny, a guy came over to me and he says to me, "It's not a problem, Rav. You know why? But people come late to shul, they don't say it anyway. So don't worry about it." Oh, I said that maybe one Terrence. Let's think of another one. For some reason, I didn't find that in the Rishayim. The guy came up, he says to me, "Rav,
we don't say it."
He says to me, "Rav, don't worry. The reason is because for those already who come and on time and say it, okay. So the few people who say it already. All right. Point being, we do say it. And why do we say it? We should say Perik Shira. Let's say Perik Shira instead of speaking about how the Mitzrayim drowned in the ocean. The answer may be as follows, Rabbi Yisai. The Gemara tells us, one in Soita, the other one's in Midrashim, that Kriyas Yamsuf is unique, that the miracles that happen to the person on a daily basis can also be referred to as Kriyas Yamsuf. The Gemara tells us that when the Rabbi Yisrael puts together a zivuk, a husband and a wife, it's like Kriyas Yamsuf. It's kosher. It's as difficult as Kriyas Yamsuf. The question, of course, is kosher? Difficult? There's nothing difficult for Hashem. Hashem can do whatever he wants. So kosher obviously doesn't mean, as far as Hashem's capabilities, it's difficult. But it is a miracle. It's difficult because it's not a simple thing, and therefore it's compared to Kriyas Yamsuf. The second thing the Gemara compares to Kriyas Yamsuf is parnasa. Kasha mizaynaisav shel adam ke kriyas yams. I believe Rabbi Sai, Oz Yoshe Moshe, we're not saying Shira for the Mitzrayim. We're saying Shira for the Kriyas Yamsuf that the Rabbeinu Shalom does for us every single day. Man, during his life, personal, family, parnasa, job, is going through Kriyas Yamsuf. You hear?
Yeah.
A person could view Kriyas Yamsuf every day. We're blind. We don't see it. Hashem made once Kriyas Yamsuf. It's not a thing of the past. When Anisim Agdoilam Atabola Hakir, the Nisim Tanim, the Ramban says, the miracles of great are supposed to open up our eyes that we should look and see in the smaller miracles Hashem's greatness. We could see Kriyas Yamsuf on a daily basis. And the Oz Yosher that we say is not so much Oz Yosher praise to Hashem for the past that he killed the Mitzrayim, but it's a praise that happens to me daily through the Kriyas Yamsuf that I go through every day of my life. At home, Shidduch. Pasuk says, Moishiv Beis Yechidim, that the house puts together two elements. A husband and a wife are from different worlds. That's the pasuk that the Gemara brings. Why is it like Kriyas Yamsuf? It's like Kriyas Yamsuf because Moishiv Yechidim Beisa, which means he puts together. So that's not only just once. People think that the Kriyas Yamsuf is to make the Shidduch. It's to keep the Shidduch going is the Kriyas Yamsuf. People think, it's Kriyas Yamsuf Lezavgam to make the Shidduch. The Shadchan, he himself can make Kriyas Yamsuf the Shadchan. Believe me, when they mix up, you know, they believe me, they can make a real good, you know, up and down. Sus v'reich boy, Rama v'ayam, they can make a whole world storm of Kriyas Yamsuf. The idea is to keep it together. To keep it together. That's what it means. Moishiv Yibes Yechim, to put it together, is like Kriyas Yam. That's daily. That's every day that a person in his home, in his private life. Mizaynoisa Shaladim is daily. There's a Kriyas Yamsuf. And there's a chesed of Hashem in that Kriyas Yamsuf. And that's why we say, Oz Yashir Moishiv Ne Yisrael, because you have to see it. You have to recognize.
Day by day.
What do I mean? The pasuk says, if you notice, I'll tell you an interesting vart. It says in the pasuk by Oz Yoshim, Hashem saved us. Right? Did we say Shira? Still not. Still didn't say Shira. Vayoish Hashem saved us. Still didn't say Shira. Vaya Yisrael Smitzrayim Meis Hasvas Hayom. Still didn't say Shira. Vaya Yisrael Seog Doilash Osa Hashem Mitzrayim. Vayiro Amis Hashem. Vayaminu Bashem Uv Moshe Avdai Oz Yashem Moshe Vnei Yisrael Zashira Zayis. Why didn't they say Shira Mitzrayim? I don't understand. They should have said Shira the moment. Why all of a sudden? So the pasuk tells us, you know why? Because Vayar Yisrael Seyod HaGdoyla Ayuram Esa Vayiminu B'Hashem. They saw Hashem's hand. Yeah, Rashi Esa Gvur HaGdoyla She'asa Yadei Shal Kodesh Baruch Hu. They saw Hashem's great hand. A person could recognize Hashem's great hand throughout the day. That's Oz Yashir. That's when Shira bursts forth. The idea of Oz Yashir is when we see Hashem's great hand in our own lives. That's when we say Shira. That's the idea of the Mun. The Mun was not so much what we got, but it came from Yod Hagdoyla. It came from the fact that Hashem showed us his big hand. Yeah? There's a very famous pasuk and a Rashi that I'd like to share with you, which opens up even greater. Moshe Rabbeinu wants to go into Eretz Yisrael. And he begs Hashem, Ato achi loisa laharoi, says avdecha, es godlecha, ves yod chachadoka. You began to show me your greatness and your strong hand. This is in Veschanan, the beginning of Parshas Veschanan. Right? Beginning of Parshas Veschanan. As God l'cha, your greatness, and your strong, Yodcha Chazaka. So therefore, let me continue to go into Israel. Let me go and see the continuation of this greatness. What is the greatness he's referring to? Does anybody know? What is the Yodcha Chazaka that he's referring to? Rashi says, God l'cha, zu midas tufcha. This is your goodness. Hashem, you began to show me your goodness. Yeah. The Yad HaChazaka that Klal Yisrael saw on Yamsuf was Hashem's goodness to them. And I want to give you another explanation into this whole idea of them saying Shira while the Malachim didn't say Shira. Now there's a very famous question, Malachim, why can't you say Shira? Bavoid Rishoyim Rina, it says in the Pasuk. That when the Rishoyim get destroyed, Rina, it's a cause of singing. They should have made a whole tape, a Mordechai Ben David song, a tape, you hear? The Mitzrayim's downfall. Yeah, and they should have had the good in. The Mitzrayim, they were drowned in the ocean. That should be one song. And the next song should have been Tzolul Kafiris B'mayim Adirim. And there should have been Sus V'roich Boy, Sus V'roich Boy. They should have had a whole slew of the good in. You know what? It says in the Pasuk, Bavoid, Rishayim, Rina. When the Rishayim get destroyed, Rina! It's a cause of song, Rina, song. So how could you have a taina, a complaint against the Malachim? They shouldn't sing Ma'isi Yodin Toimai. So what does the pasuk mean by Void Rishayim Rina? It's a complicated sugya. Many achronim spend many pages of discussion to try to explain the different psukim. On one hand, we find Ma'isi Yodin Toimai Yodin, you're not allowed to say Shira when an Arasha dies. On another pasuk, it says, B'nefoyla Yifchal Tismach, don't be happy when your enemy falls. And then we have another pasuk that says, Void Rishayim Rina, you should sing when the Rishayim get killed. In Lakewood over Shabbos, I've got many times this question. What? A person shouldn't be happy that Saddam Hussein was hung? A person shouldn't say praises to Hashem, Givaldik, you killed Hitler? This is the question that I got over Shabbos. It's a legitimate question. You know, you heard this question before, huh? How do you reconcile all these Chazal and... You know what the answer may be? Maybe. Maybe. It depends what's making me happy and on what am I praising Hashem for. If I praise Hashem on a personal note, what he did for me, that's okay. If I praise Hashem because I'm happy that the evil left the world, that's also fine. But if I praise Hashem that the evil got what they deserve, they got what they're coming, that's no good. That's not allowed.
What?
Again, to come and say, Hashem, what you did for me, I'm very happy. To come and say, I'm even happy that the evil was left, was taken away from this world, that's also okay. That's Bavoy Vishayim Rina. But to come and be happy that the Russia got what he deserves, that's no good. The Malachim were happy. You know what they were happy? Hashem's greatness. Kigoy God, they saw Hashem's greatness and they wanted to say Shira. They never said Shira Mitzrayim. They didn't see Shira Mitzrayim, and that's what I point out. Klal Yisrael didn't say Shira Mitzrayim. When did they say Shira? When they saw the Yad HaGdoilah that Hashem did. Hashem's greatness, Hashem's kindness, and we'll soon explain, Kriyas Yamsa was done in a way that was so much chesed to Klal Yisrael. Do you know that the Mitzrayim were spit out? Chazal told us, why did Hashem make the Mitzrayim get spit out? Because Klal Yisrael shouldn't be nervous that the Mitzrayim are still coming. So he made it in a way that they should be spit out. I'll tell you even more. I never understood why did they have to be spit out? And then there's such a thing called Bizas Mitzrayim. You know what Bizas Mitzrayim was? That they took the gold and the jewelry off the people, off the soldiers of the Mitzrayim after they were drowned. Okay? And I want you to know, it wasn't only after they drowned. It's a whole shayla in the Rishonim if they were mefarchis, meaning they were still alive, jumping up and down, or they were actually dead. And I'll explain to you what I mean. The Pasuk says, Lo'yseifun liroysam oid ad oilam. You shouldn't see them ever again. The Mitzrayim, you'll never see them again. You see the Mitzrayim, you're afraid of them, don't worry, you'll never see them again. Did they see them again? Yeah. After the water drowned them, they spit them out. So they did see them. It's a famous question.
They make sure they're dead, that's why.
So, but how it says you won't see them. So many Mefarshim say, there's an Oidem Yehuda about it, that to see a person when he's dead, that's not cool seeing him anymore. And therefore, if a person makes a neder, makes a promise, I'll never see you ever again, he's allowed to identify his body. Yeah, I've not seen him. Seen them dead. Lo yisay sifu means you're not going to see them alive. Others argue and say, no, that's also called seeing them. You're seeing them. Lo yisay sifu, you're seeing them. So how could it be lo yisay sifu li reisa meidan oilam? How could there be such a pasuk, yeah? You're seeing them. So if you look at the Targum Yerushalmi, says, you know what, let's start with the Targum Yoyinsim and Uziel. The Targum Yoyinsim and Uziel says that they were actually not dead. They were not dead. No, the Pasuk says that they saw them dead. We know that when a person is half dead, when he's goyseis, when he's moving around like a chicken that's just moving around, not literally dead. And therefore, they saw them then. That's what the Targum Yoyinsim and Uziel says. And that's why it's a question that many ask, so how could it be that you say that he'll never see them again? What's your answer? They were dead. Who says they were dead? The Targum Yoyinsim says they weren't dead. That's one question. So I have a question. If let's say they were half dead, does it make sense on a half dead person to go and rip off his jewelry? Is that what a yid is supposed to be all about? I remember years ago reading a documentary that was made by American soldiers. And they were trying to sue the American government to say, how could the American government turn them into monsters during the Vietnam War? The American government made that the soldiers would become a monster. And they were saying different stories of evil that the American soldiers were doing to the Vietnamese, push it from during war, sadistic things. And one of the things I read there was that there was a soldier who saw that a Vietnamese had a gold teeth, and he wasn't dead, but he was, you know, ben achayim ben amov, half dead, half alive. He was ripping out his teeth. Father guy was not dead. He was just ripping
out. That's like what the Nazis were doing.
Way? So the soldier, the American soldier, he was so nimas, he got so disgusted from it, that first he shot the Vietnamese guy, because he was in pain, he was dying, so he shot him. And then he shot his friend, Hayitachin. How could you be such a sadistic person to take the gold and the jewelry out of his mouth? Why, he's dying. And he shot his friend. And there was a whole question that they should take him as a court-martial, that they should give him punishment for doing that. Or maybe because we drove him to be so crazy that he became crazy during war and he shot his friend. It was a whole documentary. What's the point being? Definitely not for a Yiddish person to go over to a mitzri while he's half dead and rip his gold and silver wool from his clothing. I mean, well, what is that all about? Well, how could there be such a thing?
How about from the person?
Huh? That was half the problem, but it's still a problem. But what happened, Bezos Mitzrayim? How do you explain Bezos Mitzrayim?
Why is it different than Amalek? Why is it different than Amalek?
Amalek is one thing, because first of all, Amalek doesn't say anyway we should take the jewelry from Amalek. Second of all, Amalek is killing, because you have to sometimes kill somebody. Over here, you're talking about we're not treating them like Amalek. Mitzrayim is supposed to treat properly. It says like society of Mitzri. You can't hate a Mitzri. So what was the mitzvah to take off his dying body, his jewelry? It's a little bit interesting thing, but point being, according to the Talmud Yerushalmi says, we don't mean you're not going to see them alive or dead. That's not even the point. You're not going to see them in the same state of mind that you saw them till now. What does that mean? There's an interesting Eben Ezra. Eben Ezra says, why did the Jews fight back on Kriyas Yom Suf? You know, if every Jew would turn around and just take out one mitzri, you would have been able to conquer the whole Mitzrayim. You know what I mean? The numbers, yeah, there were so many more Jews than there were Mitzrayim. Turn around, fight back. So there's a very famous rule. We know this by the Nazis, the same question. How come they never fought back? And the answer is Katzon LaTevach. Sometimes Jews, they become so low by themselves, fear, that they can't do anything. Katzon LaTevach Yuval. I happen to have seen this with my own eyes. One of the Kail over here in Queens, they wanted to teach Shechita, so they brought a lamb, and they shechted the lamb. It doesn't move. It just lets you do it. It's an interesting
way.
No, it just lets you. And it knows it's getting it. It doesn't do anything. It's an interesting that Klal Yisrael is like Tzon Kodesh, Katzon LaTevach Yuval. I'd rather read over Shabbos. Very interesting. I'll share it with you. I know, Rabbi, I say a lot, but there's a lot in here that I want to say, so you just bear with me a little bit. I read over Shabbos a testimonial that I think his name was Rabbi Horowitz. He, you know, was a during the concentration camps, and then later on he became an advocate to commemorate the Holocaust. And so he says he remembers that they chose 10 Yidden to get hung on Shavuos, because they claim that Shavuos is when the Torah was given, and because of the Torah, they think that the Am HaNivchar, and because of the Am HaNivchar, the chosen nation, they do all these terrible things to the German people, and therefore they have to get hung on Shavuos.
10.
So they took 10, they chose 10 people. And one of them was a very chashuv Rosh HaKol. He was the head of the community in Lodz. So it says over there that the day before, and he was saying slichas. They would teach it was Shavuos, but they were saying slichas because they knew they were going to die. So he stopped them in the middle of the slicha. Kel Neir Alila. The slicha Kel Neir Alila. Huh? By Nilas, he slapped them in that slicha of Kel Neir Alila. I'm sorry, I said slichas, I meant they davened in the Yom Kippur davening. Forgive me. They were davening Yom Kippur davening. So it's he was saying Kel Neir Alila. And he said, we'll stop over here. And as they were being marched to get hung, they continued the Kel Neir Alila. They continued that paragraph. So when they came to the hanging, so there were chairs. So this Rabbi Horowitz took his neck and he put it into the, and he smiled at the Nazi and he showed him, okay, come on, let's go. No? And the guy was like, well, what do you mean? You're not, no, come on, let's go. The guy couldn't figure out, he couldn't understand that it's in the HaMishpacha magazine of this week. It's something interesting to read. This whole, it's in this week's HaMishpacha, yeah. So something to read, it's something interesting. So he brings down over there that the way he put his neck in there, he was showing the guy that the only way to avenge you is by showing you that I'm a Yid. That's the only way I can avenge. Because he brings down that one of the 10 gave a scream, Yidden, Jews, avenge our blood. So he asks, as a child, he never said, how do you expect us to avenge our blood? I mean, what do you think we're going to do? So he explains that the person meant by being a Jew, By being a true Yid, that itself is how you avenge our dam. So katzoin latevach might be that Klal Yisrael is tzoin. What is tzoin? Tzoin, I was thinking, is the Klal Yisrael. We're called tzoin marisai. So if you go like tzoin marisai to the death, that itself is avenging the death itself. And that's what it means. Katzon latevach yuvo. Klal Yisrael goes like a tzon, like a sheep. What does that mean? Like a Klal Yisrael. That's what it means. Katzon latevach yuvo. You hear Rabbi saying? It's being a very, very profound pshat. I was thinking about it over Shabbos when I read this article. Katzon latevach yuvo means that as a tzon, as a tzon kaidish, as a Jew, who's called Tzon Marisai, if you go to the death as Tzon, that itself is how you avenge your own death from the person who's perpetrating death. Getting back to the point, so like say, Sifuli Raisa Moirat Oilam, says the Targum Yerushalmi, you know how you won't see him again? As a slave. They went to Kriyas Yams of the slaves, like Devin Ezra says, that he couldn't even fight back. You know what Hashem wanted in Kriyas Yamsuf? That they should undo their psychological problem, that they were considered slaves, and now they have a whole different persona. Their inner self changed from being a slave to being a free person. That itself, that in their minds, they had the psychology of a slave. They had the emotional restrictiveness of being a slave. That also went away on Kriyas Yom Tov. Hashem took care of that. And how did he do that? By having the Mitzrayim get spit out. And that the Jews should take their gold and their silver. That itself was the chesed. That itself was the chesed of Kriyas Yom Tov. Klal Yisrael saw in Kriyas Yom Tov, not only does Hashem at the same time punish, but that's not enough to say Shirat Hashem. But he sees the Yara Chazaka, he punishes the Rasha, but at the same time it's actually Chesed of Hashem to the Bnei Yisrael. Aminu b'Hashem u'Moshe Avdi Oz Yashem Moshe Bnei Yisrael Zashir Azois. This is Hashem's greatness. It's not enough to see Hashem great miracles. From within the miracles, and even when Hashem punishes the Rasha, you see the tremendous chesed to Klal Yisrael, the tremendous chesed to the individual. That's what brings out Shira. That is Mon. Mon is to be able to recognize the tremendous chesed. And when you recognize the tremendous chesed in the Mon is a tremendous bracha, it's a tremendous... That's a skula. That is a skula for Parnosa. Yeah. So all in all, what we're saying, Rabbi Say, is refocus. Money is supposed to give you a reality check. And I'm going to give you one more last vart, and then I'm going to send you on your way because we've said a lot. And I give you a good piece of advice. You should go over the tape. Chazer, try to see what I was trying. There's a lot hidden with what I said. I couldn't speak out everything that I want, but it's more or less there. I'm going to tell you something very interesting. You know what Shira means? What is Shira? I'll tell you what Shira is. Az Yashir. You know what Az Yashir means? Az means then. You know, Moshe Rabbeinu complained with the word Az. He said, "Mi az basi al parai." From when I came to Parai, it was no good, and that's why Hashem said, "You'll say az yashu with the word az." Okay, what does that mean? I'll tell you simply, and I don't have time to go into great detail, but it's the idea will be there enough that you should understand. You know, when you start to realize that Hashem maybe made bad in the beginning, it's not really bad. When the result comes, when the final chapter is written, and then you start looking back and you realize, hey, wait a minute. It's actually all good. There was a chesed in all this. You're right. Hashem made suffering for Klal Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu says, oh, what are they suffering? You'll see. Wait. Hashem says, wait and you'll see. That's what he answered, right? Wait and you'll see what I'm going to do to Pari. When he came to Kriyas Yamsuf, everything made sense. That's why Oz Yoshe Moshe. He looks back. That's Shira. You know what Shira is? Shira is to see deeper. Shira is to see, oh, now I understand. Now I get it. Okay. You know what the man? The man, I told you, didn't look very pleasant. But when you thought, and you thought the man is from Hashem, the man is, it's delicious. It's all about focus to see what it's, what's behind it, what it really stands for. What was the man the most best looking? If you went into the store and you saw all the cakes and man, you'd pass by and go, what is this? You want to know something? I used to think, tell my kids over there. You know, that's why it was called man. Man was an exclamation. What is this? Imagine a guy comes in and says, I have a chassidah to make. Could you give me delicious pastries? So they give him, and then they give him a blob of mud. You know what the wife is going to go? What is it? What are you talking about? Mud! Externally, once you understood, the Chavetz Chaim Zechronel of Rachel used to say, the mud only had taste with the thought you had. What happens if a person didn't think anything when he ate the mud? What taste did it have?
Vash.
Nothing.
Vash.
Says the Chafetz Chaim, Nebuch. So a guy ate the mud and he had no thought at all. Nothing. That's the
bottom.
Vash.
Vash.
Says the Chafetz Chaim, it tasted like tzapiches bedvash.
Yeah.
If you mechavim to eat mud. If I go and I say, I want to have the taste of mud. If I say, I want to have the taste of mud. Then the mud had a taste of katzapichas bedvash. By the way, you know what tzapichas bedvash is? What is the one thing in the pasuk that, which is interesting, because I was going to bring it up a little bit later, but I'm trying to cut it short. What is the one thing in the Torah, I'm sorry, I just gave away the answer. What's the one thing that's compared to tzapichas bedvash? Honey, no?
Torah.
That's Kitzapi. The man had a taste of Torah. He took a bite. Delicious Torah. Delicious. My, the wonderful. My Riddick. But if you have no thought, says Manana Chafetz Chaim, it tasted like nothing. It's junk it tasted because you don't think. I mean, there's certain things that externally have no taste, but its internal taste is unbelievable. Now I'm going to explain to you why the Torah is called a Shira. You know, it says by Yeshua that the Malach came before he went to war, to kill him. Oh. Why did the Malach come to kill him? Why? Atabasi. He asked the Malach, what are you coming to kill me for? Why? Atabasi. What does Atta mean? Says the Gemara in Brachas, in Megillah, Ata Basi means, Mar Megillah, Ata means Ata Kisvo Chemes Hashir Azois. You'll write this song, meaning Torah. It's referring to Ata Kisvo Chem, write this song, and since you aren't learning, right, therefore I'm coming to kill you, because it was Bittul Torah. So Miyad, says the Gemara, right away, what did he do? He corrected it and he sat down and he learned. So the Mefarshim speak, why did he bring this pasuk? You want to tell him Torah? Tell him Torah. What do you have to say? Va'ata kisva, whole speech. Va'ata. Va'ata means kisva chemes hashir azois. Just tell him Torah and finish. Why do you have a whole story about va'ata kisva chemes hashir? So the Mefarshim, part of Jerav used to say it over all the time, is to try to teach Yeshua, you're in a matzav of a sakana. So you're right. Maybe, you have an excuse. You have an excuse you can't learn. But if Torah is Shira, Torah is a song, which means it's the song of Chayim, the Shira, the song of life, so you should have done it even if you're in a matziv of a situation where it's difficult and you're in a danger and you can't concentrate. That's why here he uses the passing, Vatal Kisul Achem, it's a Shira, this song. I have to add a little bit. I think it needs a little bit more salt and pepper, as they say, to explain it. You know what Shira is? Shira is to recognize Hashem in a difficult situation. That His hand of chesed is there. Shira is when we start to realize Yod HaChazak, the presence of Hashem. You thought it was one thing, And then all of a sudden it becomes wrecking. Oh, it's a whole different... The mun was a tremendous thing that they recognized, if you paid attention, the chesed of Hashem. Kriyas Yamsu v'shira, they recognized the tremendous chesed of Hashem. The Torah is also a tremendous shira, just like the mun. You know, when you learn Torah, it might not taste that very good, and it might not be so appetizing to the eye. It's difficult. It's hard. The lifestyle is difficult. A different lifestyle may be more appetizing. But when you understand the security of Hashem in the Torah, which means you recognize that Hashem it shines through in the Torah, then it becomes a shira of the chayim. The life has a whole different meaning now. The life of Torah, that the Torah dictates, gives a person shira when he recognizes. So Yeshua, I believe, was in a matzav of fear. Sounds familiar? Mun, fear, insecurity. Says the Malach to him, the greatest security is in the words of the Torah, the comfort of the Torah. And then you'll have what? Shira, when you recognize Hashem is there to comfort you. Torah is a shira. How is Torah a shira? The security that you have that Hashem is there with you. You know, a melech, I was thinking about it last night, a melech, when he goes to war, what did he used to take with him? Do you know what the melech used to carry with him?
Mishnah,
his Torah. He used to have a Torah that would go, a special Torah that would go out to war with him. What's the pshat? So I was thinking about it. The security of Hashem Imai, Hashem is with him. And when you have that security, that's called Shiva. Oz Yashimoish, they saw by Aminu, you start to see Hashem in war, becomes a Shira of Ata Kisvulachemis, a Shira Zois. Write this Shira. We're talking about the Shira that Yeshua, you're in matzav of danger. You should have turned to the learning of the Torah to give you warmth, to give you protection, to give you consolence. And that would be the Shira of the Torah. This Rabbi says Parshas Haman. Parshas Haman isn't blah, 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 the words. Or even to go to the store and buy it and put it into your tefillin bag. You're supposed to put it, L'hoye l'ois al yadcha, l'taytafuiz bein einecha, one inside the heart, and one inside the head. That's where Parshas Haman belongs. Not in the tefillin bag. Good, you want to put it in your tefillin bag, it's also good. But you gotta like the tefillin. The one that shall yad keneged alev, and the one that shall roish keneged roish, put in your heart and your mind that the mun, the Rebbeinu Shloim, is there to secure. And that's Hashirus, that's console, that's Shira. That's praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu when you see his Yad HaChazaka, that he's there every day to make you a Kriyas Yamsuf and to help you and support you and to give you emotional support. Kriyas Yamsuf was an emotional support for Klal Yisrael. They became Ois Avadim, like the Talmud Yerushalmi says. They were Avadim till they came there, and Hashem made it that the Mitzrayim should die in a way that they should feel that they're not Avadim anymore. That the Mitzrayim are junk and they're the Adayim, they're the masters. That's Yad HaGdayla Shas Hashem in Mitzrayim. The great hand of Chesed Hashem did in Mitzrayim. Taka Bizoifa. To feel Hashem's hand, loving hand, His kindness, His guidance, daily life throughout the week, throughout the year. And with this, we'll Taka Bizoifa to say Shira Oz, La'asid Lavei Oz, Shira to the Rebbeinu Shalom.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.